You tell me it gets better. It gets better in time. You say I pull myself together. Pull it together. You'll be fine. Tell me, what the hell do you know? What do you know? Tell me, how the hell could you know? How could you know? Till it happens to you, you don't know how it feels. How it feels. Till it happens to you, you won't know. It won't be real. No, it won't be real. Won't know how it feels. You tell me, hold your head up. Hold your head up and be strong. 'Cause when you fall, you gotta get up. You gotta get up and move on. Tell me, how the hell can you talk? How can you talk? 'Cause until you walk where I walk, it's just all talk. Till it happens to you, you don't know how it feels. Till it happens to you, you don't know how I feel. How I feel. How I feel.
All right, that was Lady Gaga, Till It Happens to You, kicking off today's episode of TV on the Radio here on BFF.fm. I'm Leah, and I'm here with Jess.
Good morning.
Hi, Jess. How are you?
Not amazing, if we're being completely honest.
What a fucking week,
Not good.
Yeah, we talked last week. We started our show by asking for prayers for Luke Perry. You guys did not pray. Luke Perry died.
This is your fault.
Yeah. And that was a real shock.
Yeah.
It's a true loss. And I think there have been plenty of think pieces written about how that is a very significant death for Gen X.
I spent that day, crying at the office partly. Yeah. And I just want to say, everyone who's making Luke Perry's death about you, it's not about you. It is about me.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys are wrong. I posted on social media that the very first show we ever did on TV, on the radio, there's no audio of that, blessedly, but the very first show the very first show we ever did, we talked about Beverly Hills 90210, which at that point had been off the air for like 13 years, but seemed extraordinarily relevant, and I think was a great way to kick off our long tenure here on the radio talking about TV.
Yeah, there was a point at this week where I was like, we should definitely like talk about 90210 this week instead of what we're going to talk about, but it's a little raw.
Maybe
sometime soon.
Yeah.
Anyway.
R.I.P. Luke Perry.
Making heaven prettier.
But definitely. Yeah. Greatest actor of our generation. Gone too soon.
Yeah.
Then on top of that, we watched Leaving Neverland, the two-part, four-hour, harrowing documentary about Michael Jackson and his abuse of two boys, James Safechuck and Wade Robson. And I also watched the Oprah. Oprah did a special afterwards, an hour-long special featuring an audience of like 100 male survivors of child sexual assault.
Both men and women. But yeah, that
survivors
was like,
of child sexual
I
assault.
Inhaled, like I gasped when she said that. Mm-hmm. Like the entire audience, maybe not the entire audience, but yeah, over 100 people who are survivors. And I was like, wow, that's rough.
Yeah, it was that was incredibly powerful.
But I mean, I'm not a survivor of abuse, and this was hard to watch.
It was
like, I can't imagine watching it if you were, you know, ripe to be triggered with awful memories.
It was truly, truly harrowing. I will say that as a documentary, Oprah said this, and I think it resonated for me, that as a documentary, this said more about the kind of just about child sexual assault and child sexual abuse and the grooming of victims. And it did seem like it was bigger than just Michael Jackson, which is amazing because who thought anything could eclipse Michael Jackson?
Yeah.
But I really feel like I came away from this with a better understanding of child sexual abuse, and that'll serve me in my life, I guess. I don't know.
No, I mean, I think that's a really good point, because we, you know, as Oprah said, we think about, you know, child abuse as this like traumatic, violent, you know, moment. And this really, I mean, thanks to these two men who are willing to tell their stories in excruciating detail, they really illustrated how it's a very slow, methodical thing, and the child does not have an understanding of the fact that they're being victimized. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, to arrive at that understanding, you have to reshape your thinking of your entire childhood.
Yeah.
And some people will never be able to do that. And so it's like, it helps with understanding like how these two people could have testified in court denying that they were abused, because they were in denial. And then, you know, the way that victimizes other people who, you know, like the people who are who brought the lawsuit or the criminal charges against Michael Jackson. And that gets undermined because people can't understand what happened to them.
Yeah.
You know?
And it really did sort of illustrate how, you're in. Also, again, Oprah said, like, keeping the secret is what does the damage more so than the abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like it really highlighted for me, both of these boys worshipped Michael Jackson and for all intents and purposes were in what would be deemed like a consensual relationship, except they have no agency and no reference for, I mean, when you're a child, you can't consent to a sexual relationship.
Right.
And
the power dynamic.
But it really did highlight to me that it's just the like confusion of feeling these feelings of love and warmth and intimacy towards somebody that you trust, and somebody who has worked so methodically to get you to that point. And that was the it was really harrowing. Yeah. Really, really harrowing. Very hard to watch. And
yeah. I think I texted you that I was trying to take notes while watching it, and some of it was so unspeakable that I was like, I can't like make it. I can't commit this to paper.
Yeah, and also, you don't really need notes. Like this. Yeah. This show is seared in my. Yeah, yeah. Like I remember everything about this show. It was devastating, and really hard to watch. And I cannot even fathom the courage that both of these men have in like reliving it and their frank, graphic telling of what happened to them.
That was one of the
kids.
Most striking parts to me is how I think Wesley Morris described this as very quiet and just the matter of fact way. I mean, obviously they were in pain, you could tell that, but like the way they just calmly described what happened to them was harrowing to watch. And then I was very struck by the fact that I think both of them cried. They didn't cry or get like, they didn't cry until they described how like the revelation affected their wives and their families.
Yeah.
That's what really got them to like break down and cry. And that was very upsetting to see. Like they on a level weren't really registering their own pain, just the pain it caused other people around them.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that the documentary does so well, is it shows how these kids did dissociate and they did compartmentalize their own pain. And Wade Robson said that multiple times, he said in the documentary and also on the after show, that he fully intended like this was going to be something that he would just take to his grave. Like it was just going to, you know, it was never going to be something that was dealt with or discussed. And both of them mentioned how having their own kids is what led them to confront this. And it's that in itself is so sad, just the legacy of abuse and how like this trauma is going to be worked out through generations. You know, like this affects, James Safechuck's mom said, you know, this affected the boy he was, this affected the man he was, this affected the father he could have been, this affects him, like his entire being is forever changed by this trauma. And that gets acted out, you know, not acted out, but that gets passed down through these generations. Wade Robson's sister said that this was like a bomb that exploded their family, and they're all dealing with it. That's the thing with like child abuse, is that the child doesn't get a chance to process it, but it's the entire family deals with it. And it was just really harrowing, and truly, we should have a harrowing word count for this episode, but just truly like one of the most affecting documents or document. What am I trying to say? What's it called? A documentary.
Documentary.
One of the most affecting documentaries I've ever seen, because it really did further my understanding of abuse in a way that I probably, I don't know. Like thankfully, I've not dealt with that. I haven't had to confront that. But just so well done. And it did transcend the fact that this was Michael Jackson that that was abusing these kids, and certainly many more. Is there any doubt in your mind that Michael Jackson is guilty of child abuse?
No.
Had there been prior to this?
Yeah, actually, I did. I don't know. I wasn't 100% either way, but I did sort of, there was definitely a period where I made myself believe like, you know, oh, he was just a weird guy who, you know, enjoyed the company of children. Yeah. That's the thing that a huge takeaway from this is like minutes into watching it, it's like, how did we ever convince ourselves of anything else? Like he was flagrant about it, like an entourage of children following him around. What did we tell ourselves about that?
He did not try to hide this in any way. I mean, he hid the abuse, but he didn't. But yes, he was flagrant about this. And Wade Robson said something in the after special, and I'm sorry to keep referring to him as Wade Robson, but he said something in, that's his name. He said something in the after special that really, really hit me. And Oprah again was talking about how, you know, this just really showed how he groomed his victims, mm-hmm. and groomed their family. And Wade Robson said, you know, Michael Jackson's whole life was about grooming the entire world. Mm-hmm. Like, we were groomed before we ever met him, because mm-hmm. his whole narrative was, I never had a childhood. I do all this because I love children, and right. because I want, you know, I never had a childhood. And people fucking accepted that. And
yeah, well, I think that's another thing that's hard to grapple with, is the complexity of the issue. And you know, we talk about the legacy of abuse, and Michael Jackson himself was the survivor yeah. of an awful, abusive childhood. Yeah. And I guess in a way, like, even if he was abusing children, like, I'm not saying there's any excuse for it, but, you know, we tell ourselves, like, oh, he was a victim himself and, like, never had a chance to have a normal life. But, like, the insidiousness and methodical mm-hmm. grooming, mm-hmm. Like, the amount of, like, yeah, the methodical planning that goes into, like, building this whole life around abusing children. Mm-hmm. Like how do we resolve? I mean, it's just monstrous.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What really struck me was when I saw, I don't know, they were showing clips of, like, James Safechuck with him constantly. Mm-hmm. There was one clip, the BBC was doing something when he was in London for a show, and they were like, and you know, it's this very proper BBC voice, and he's like, Michael Jackson with his young traveling companion. Yeah. And I'm like, and just hearing it in the fucking, like, this very proper Queen's English, yeah. and then, like, how did nobody think of, like, that's not normal. It's not normal. Yeah. Guys, like, for a 34-year-old man to travel exclusively with 9-year-olds and to sleep in the same room mm-hmm. with them. And yeah, the Wesley Morris piece in the New York Times really kind of summed up many of my thoughts on it, yeah. where it's just like, yeah, we all let his star power overshine.
Yeah.
Just like nobody wanted to face it. And I do think that part of it is that it was so flagrant that people were like, he can't possibly be that.
Right.
It has exactly. to be innocent, because
nothing can be this bad.
Yeah.
Like, nothing could be this insidious.
Yeah.
No one would do this.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But he did. And it's, it's really something. The victims themselves were just heartbreaking to me. Mm-hmm. James Safechuck is just he's just a, like, lost little boy. Like, it is,
well, I mean, I wouldn't characterize him like that, but there is something, like, just profoundly sad about his appearance. Yeah. Like, he does, like, always look like he's about to cry.
Yeah.
He doesn't cry.
Yeah.
His voice is very, like, hesitant. Soft and yeah. hesitant. And yeah, he seems like he's in pain.
And
a lot of pain.
He broke my heart, and I wish for peace for him so badly.
Yeah.
So badly. I really hope that this is something that can help him heal and move forward. He talked a lot about and Wade also talked about, like, them feeling hurt when they were essentially thrown over for the next new young boy who was going to be Michael's victim.
I mean, that's the other thing that complicates it. Like, they were in love with him, mm-hmm. you know, like, it was, they wanted to be with him.
Yeah.
They weren't, like, prisoners.
Yeah.
That grappling with those feelings, along with, like, trying to understand how you were victimized by someone who you loved.
Yeah. And the thing that was what really, really hit me was, like, that love is complicated anyway.
Yeah.
And just, like, having to deal with this at an age when you are not emotionally ready for this, mm-hmm. and literally having no outlet because you're told, and they both reiterated how they were told from literally the first time Michael Jackson abused them that, like, no one can know about this. Mm-hmm. Like, this is, like, we'll both, our lives will be over. And yeah. James Safechuck said that about how he had, like, a full body panic reaction mm-hmm. when he saw Wade speaking about it because he felt like, I'm caught. Like,
right. Yeah, they both, like, you don't grow out of that thing that's drilled into you. Mm-hmm. He told them over and over again that we'll both be ruined, suggesting mm-hmm. they would both go to jail, yeah. that they were both doing something
yeah.
criminal. And, like, they never, it's not like you get to a certain age and think, like, oh, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, yeah, as adults, they still felt like, yeah, they, like,
well,
you
it's,
said,
it becomes like a nervous system yeah. reaction at mm-hmm. that point because it truly is so internalized. Yeah. And yeah, just having these experiences and not being able to process it and not being able to talk about it at an age where you're not ready for that, like, it's just, yeah.
yeah.
How can you not be destroyed
yeah.
for life?
It was interesting that Wade finally got to a point where he realized he needed therapy, and he mm-hmm. went to therapy for some period of time without admitting, mm-hmm. like, he talked about his relationship with Michael Jackson but continued to lie yeah. about the sexual abuse.
Yeah, because he just could not
yeah.
go there. He couldn't, and he said that he could not.
But that's
not,
like, such there. An amazing level of denial to think you're going to get something out of therapy by talking about everything but your childhood sexual abuse.
Yeah, but
amazing.
That is the power of being groomed for this, mm-hmm. is that you become complicit in your own abuse and you do think that you're doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. Again, like James Safechuck just said so many times, like, he deeply, deeply hated himself and didn't know why. And, like, to just have that internal feeling your whole life that you are bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, yeah, it's like I said, it was one of the most, like, affecting documentaries I've ever seen, and I think that it really did just really shine a light on child abuse in a way that I didn't have an understanding of it mm-hmm. before. And yeah, it's like I said, it's kind of amazing that it eclipsed the fact that Michael Jackson was the person doing the abuse. I also think that one of the things that stayed with me is, I can't remember who said it, but somebody said, you know, just being with Michael Jackson is so outside the norm
yeah.
anyway. Like, everything is you're in this literal fantasy land. Like, you're in this amusement park that he has built. There's, like, candy everywhere. There's, like, yeah. just all of it is so outside the norm that you would have no frame of reference for knowing that child abuse isn't the norm, you know.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, they repeatedly said, like, we loved each other and that's just how we expressed mm-hmm. our love. And yeah, it's the damning, like, having to keep that secret, that's, oh god, just truly devastating.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the moms. They were both featured.
Yeah.
Stephanie Safechuck and Joy Robson. Wow. It was a lot.
Someone on another podcast I listened to pointed out, like, Joy Robson, a beautiful older Australian woman, has millennial pink hair.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. this was kind of a bitchy podcast. I can't remember which of the many bitchy podcasts yeah. it was that I listened to, but pointed out, like, if you were going to be on a documentary talking about how your son was the victim of horrific abuse
years-long
under your
abuse.
Watch,
yeah.
wouldn't you just, like, maybe tone down your
yeah.
your millennial pink
yeah.
hair? And I agree, lady.
Yeah.
Get your shit together. You don't look more responsible.
Get your shit together in many ways.
Yeah.
Again, the Wesley Morris piece said about obviously both of their mothers ignored giant red flags.
Yeah.
Giant red flags. But I was not without sympathy for both of them.
Yeah.
I think that, again, the documentary did a good job at really showing how Michael Jackson groomed them too. He fostered an individual relationship with both of those women. He would talk on the phone with them nonstop for hours at a time, always portraying himself as a victim. Always.
Right.
And
he, and promised them, like, both the kids were aspiring. One was a little Michael Jackson impersonator, and the other one,
he wanted to be a director. And
Was he a, he met Michael Jackson on the Pepsi commercial. Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, this promise of like fostering their talents,
furthering kind of their
dangled
their careers.
Not that that's a excuse for pimping out your child, but you know, I can see it's one of those issues that's just icky because I don't completely forgive them.
No,
but I can see how it happens. How like you just sort of push away doubts because like this man. You know him.
Yeah,
like,
and they both
they
said
know Michael Jackson, and they know he wouldn't do anything like that.
Yeah.
They're friends.
Yeah, and they felt maternally towards him because, again, he groomed them to feel that way and methodically set up, like, an individual relationship and made them comfortable and then slowly started easing them out of the picture. It was really telling how they talked about how the parents' rooms started getting further and further away from
his
Michael Jackson's room. And
The sequence about him hanging out with James Safechuck, like they would come pick him up and then bring him to their house in Simi Valley, their little like humble ranch house in the suburbs. And, like, they thought he was their friend. And just this crazy image of, like, a fucking American icon who, like, just wants to, you know, be friends with this suburban family. So weird.
Yeah, and also, as Oprah said, like, Michael Jackson didn't need a ride to your house.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, no, that was an amazing point she made. And James Safechuck has, like, this kind of amazing, like, deadpan comic timing.
Yeah,
I was thinking, like, he's kind of funny, but then I realized, like, the deadpan thing is really, like, he's dead. But Oprah pointed out that, like, that was a way to make you feel like you were saving him.
Yeah.
Like, Michael Jackson didn't need you to come pick him up and, like, lose the press driving behind him. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was really interesting. Stephanie, James's mom, had throughout the documentary, I was like, this fucking bitch is just like, there were so many times where she would say something like, she was like, oh, James, his dad and I weren't getting along at all. Like, it just showed that, you know, I don't know, everybody's weak and everybody's flawed. And it just, it really showed again how, like, yes, these women dropped the ball, but like, they, yeah, like, Michael Jackson is the one at fault, ultimately. Mm-hmm. But anyway, she was saying, like, oh, his dad and I really weren't getting along, and James had no idea, and then it cut to James, and he's like, yeah, Michael and I would listen on the phone while they were fighting. Mm-hmm. Like, and it just seemed like she had such a different experience of his childhood and would say multiple times throughout the show would say, like, oh, and he loved this. And then you'd see him and he'd be like, that was always really hard for me or whatever. And I was like, God, she just fucking is checked out. And then at the end, she said, you know, I had one job, I had one son, and I fucked it up.
Yeah.
And she seemed to grasp it in a way that Joy didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Joy has not watched, she watched the documentary, but had the producer fast forward through the actual abuse. Hasn't heard of any of the details of the abuse, which seems like the rest of us were not spared that. Why should she be?
Yeah. I mean, I get it, but like,
Yeah.
They both, I think, are still in a form of denial.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Stephanie, is that her name?
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie Safechuck. When she said, like, I had one chance, I had one job and I fucked it up, that sort of, like, I don't know, it just didn't ring true to me that she really had fully arrived at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she talked about having learned that Michael Jackson died and her recollection was just that she was overjoyed.
She danced,
and,
because
relieved.
He couldn't hurt anyone else.
There was something about that that just rung false. Like, she is not she doesn't really fully grasp it, and she's just sort of like trying to hit these notes of like, yeah of course I fucking hate him now. Yeah. Like, I'm so glad he's dead. And then the revelation on the Oprah special that James is talking about where he is in healing and his relationship with his mom, and he said, like, I want her to get help. And I was like, are you kidding me? She's not in therapy? That's
well,
insane.
That was the thing. Yeah, she hasn't necessarily. Yeah, I agree that she hasn't come to it, because she talked about how James said, like, because they were going to testify for Michael in the later trial, and he told them not to, and he said Michael's not a good guy. And then she said, so I told him, do you want to go to therapy? And he said no, and that was it. Like, so she hasn't addressed it with him directly at all, and until you do, there's not ever going to be an honest reckoning with it. But also, Joy said, you know, I told him that I have to take some of the blame for that because I'm your mom and I failed to protect you. And I guess he needed to hear that. And I'm like, what the fuck, lady? Like, yes, of course he needed to hear that. Like, she was surprised he needed to hear that.
Maybe he needed to know that.
Yeah. And then Wade, in the after special, talked about how, you know, it's a process and he has not fully dealt with, you know, his mom's failure to, I don't know, to deal with it head on or whatever. But they were both so extraordinarily gracious in saying, like, you know, everybody's on their own path. Like, they said, James talked about how, I think they said after the Sundance premiere, that he mentioned, like, forgiveness is not a line you reach. Like, there's no finish line in this. It's going to be something that he deals with for the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. And he is trying to make this better for his family and for his kids and for himself. I mean, he seemed like a really fucking sad guy.
Yeah.
And, oh, God, the whole thing's harrowing. Should we go to a song? And then when we come back, we'll talk some more about Leaving Neverland. Obviously, if any of you guys have any thoughts on the documentary, if you've watched it, we'd love to hear what you guys
requests for Michael Jackson tracks to queue up.
Yeah. I did read something that there has been an increase in sales.
I read that there was an increase in sales, but a, you know, decrease in streaming and obviously in radio play, which I found interesting.
Yeah.
I found that curious because I know R. Kelly got a huge bump after after the Lifetime special. And I know Michael Jackson has just as rabid fans, if not more.
We'll get to that afterwards. But if you would like to join the conversation, feel free to tweet at us. We're at BFF TV on the radio on Twitter. We'll be back after this. All right, that was Big Thief, Coma.
Speaking of harrowing.
Yeah, yeah, that's a song about child sexual abuse. Okay, so we were talking about the moms, and again, what I felt the show did really well was it really was about, like, how abusers groom their victims and groom the families, and I thought it was really interesting. Both James and Wade talked about how Michael Jackson seemed to pretty much hate women. And it was really interesting that he, you know, fostered a relationship with these women specifically for the purpose of abusing their kids, it would now seem. But the thing is, yeah, they overlooked all these huge red flags. And of course, I don't, as the mom of like an almost 6-year-old, I mean, I know there's literally nobody that I would be like, yes, go ahead and sleep in the same bed as, like, whatever. But yeah. The other thing is, for all the hate and vitriol that these women are getting, like, this happens literally every day in houses across the country. Like, they were blinded by Michael Jackson's fame. Like, there are people who are being abused by boring fucking Uncle Jeff, right. You know? Like, I just... Yeah, it's more complex than laying the blame at the feet of the moms.
Yeah.
It's not... And I think Wade and James both get that. You know, it's not... Yeah. But fuck Michael Jackson forever. But I did think it was interesting. Like, do you think that he had such a problem with women because he probably never felt like his mom protected him? Like...
I don't know. I mean, that's a weird thing about this is, like... Trying to get into the psyche of Michael Jackson is feels more complicated than ever, and he's gone. So
yeah, it is also interesting that I think it was again the Wesley Morris piece. I've read so much about this. Some piece I read talked about how, you know, Michael Jackson essentially like deformed himself towards the end of his life.
Yeah, I mean over the course of most of his adult life.
Yeah, yeah, and then you know it's. We all know that he couldn't sleep, and maybe it's just catching up. Maybe being a fucking monster your whole life.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, like a huge part of his life was an expression of self-hatred.
Yeah,
I don't think we only have 21 minutes left. The idea of trying to delve into like Michael Jackson's demons and all that, like it's crazy.
Yeah. We talked a little bit before the break about how there's been like some weird numbers with regards to his album sales and things. There are some insanely rabid Michael Jackson fans who are up in arms about this. Just this week in London, 2.4 million people in the UK watched this documentary when it aired there, which is like a crazy high number. But a group took out ads on London buses saying Michael Jackson innocent.
I don't understand it.
I truly do not understand your investment in this man. I don't. If anyone out there can explain to me why anyone would be invested in saying that he is innocent, why anyone
I understand that Michael Jackson is a huge part of our culture. I understand. I don't really get like rabid fandom, although like when I think about Luke Perry, maybe I get it a little bit, but I don't understand like going to that degree of like defending someone who you don't know.
Yeah.
Like I get that his music is a huge part of your life and a huge part of our culture. You cannot extract Michael Jackson's influence from the world and you can't deny his artistry. But I don't understand it. Like what's your dog in this?
Yeah, fight? What is your investment in trying to discredit these people?
Yeah, and why like, would you choose, I guess cuz you like Michael Jackson better, but like why would you choose to believe one person you don't know over another person you don't know? Like I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone has seen this, I just don't think there is any fucking way that you can say that these men are lying or making it up. I asked my husband to explain this to me. So the argument is that people are saying, like, they're known perjurers. They lied on the stand. And it doesn't make any fucking sense to me that you're saying they were abused and they lied about it. So they're liars. So that's why, like, it doesn't. And my husband was like, well, they are known liars. Like, they lied at some point. And I'm like, but if you're admitting that they lied, you're acknowledging the abuse.
Right.
And I don't understand how, like, yeah, the circular logic of, like, them. It's baffling to me. It is truly,
That is so appropriate for the world we live in right now. Like, just twisted logic to try to, to try to use insane logic to say you're right. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, it's truly, it is mind-bending to me. There have always been the detractors who have said that anyone who ever went after Michael Jackson was just after money, mm-hmm. because he has so much money, had so much money.
Right. And that was something I used at some point to, like, justify believing Michael Jackson. Like, I could imagine a weirdo being the victim of people, like, trying to take advantage of him. You know, a very wealthy weirdo.
Yeah. Wade's sister said that she herself was one of those people who was like, see, they, like, took the money. Obviously, it was just about the money for them. And
when they settled out of court.
When they settled out of court against Jordy Chandler. But I don't know. It brought up a bigger. Oprah asked Wade about bringing the suit against the estate. And there's, like, no good answer.
This is, you know, something that's lobbed at them. Like, you're just after money.
Yeah.
And Wade did sue his estate, I think. Or I don't know if he was still alive at the time.
No, he was after. Yeah.
Okay. Estate. And so that's something that's lobbed in survivors' faces. Like, you're just after money because you're suing him. But it's like, that's how the legal system works. That's what damages are. Yeah. What are you going to do? Give him his fucking childhood back? Like, that's not an option. So that's how it works.
Yeah.
Like, and yet, so it's this sort of trap you get in because you're accused of, extortion when, like, that's all that you can get.
Yeah. And he mentioned that. He said that, you know, this was about, like, that's how you address that. Mm-hmm. That is how you address.
Yeah. Well, he seemed a little trapped when Oprah asked him about it because there's no good answer. There's no right sounding answer. Yeah. But, like, that's, you know, fuck people who think that there's any other thing you can get when it comes to damages.
Yeah. And also fuck people who think that any amount of money is going to give them peace or their childhood back or any of that. I do think they deserve money.
Yes.
I think that is the very least they deserve. I think they deserve enough money to fucking just spend their entire life in therapy with no other worries.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how they function every day. Mm-mm. Wade Robson went on to be, like, he grew up to be this ultra-driven, highly successful choreographer. Yeah. And so that also didn't stand up, that, like, he's doing it for the money. Like, he was a huge success in his own right. I don't know. I truly, though, am baffled by people who, what is your investment?
Like,
I mean, it
sounds trite, but, like, don't you have anything better to do?
Did you see Paris Jackson's searing statement?
Yeah. I try to remind myself that, like, she's only 20 years old and, I'm sure who fucking knows what her upbringing was like. Yeah. Like, I don't. But yeah, she's not very well spoken.
She's not in a great place, I don't think. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure she has problems of her own. But what was her response? Like, everyone needs to calm your titties.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I guess I'll give her the benefit of the doubt and say maybe she didn't watch it before. Issuing such an eloquent response.
Yes. Do you think anyone else is going to come forward?
I'm very curious about that. Yeah. I understand Oprah was trying not to be, like, a, you know, salacious interviewer, but like I was surprised that she didn't ask, do you know of any other survivors?
I think she essentially did. I mean, she said, was there ever anyone else in the room? Like, they were, their abuse was always very compartmentalized. Also, truly, like, horrifying to hear them talk about, like, doing drills to get dressed really quickly. Oh, and, God. Like,
yeah, just the
going into the room, but then going into, like, a closet in the room to have, like, ugh.
I'm surprised. So it didn't come up. I took that question, I guess I misinterpreted that to be about, did he have any enablers?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm curious about that.
Like, yeah, I am too.
That never came up. It did seem very personal and very secret, but there had to be people in his circle who knew what was happening. I guess in a way we all kind of knew what was happening. We were just in denial, but I wonder if there was anyone who was explicitly enabling him.
It doesn't seem like it, because there was a maid who came forward and said that she had seen him naked with showering with a child.
Yeah.
And that's kind of one of the things that really, like, there was a whole panel of his nephews and, like, all these grown men who, again, they're like, oh, these people are just after money. Like, they're liars or whatever. And it's like, how you have the gall to sit there living off of Michael Jackson's money and, like, trying to hoard it all for yourself when you've done, like, none of these people have done anything. Like, they're just living off Michael
Jackson's money. The instinct for his family to try to defend his legacy, because, and I'm not excusing it, but like, and that's been their whole lives and their whole identities is sort of being
but
the
now
family
it's
members
just money
of,
he's gone.
It's true, but like, still, like, I understand their psychological investment in believing that their brother the superstar was a good person and not a bad person. I don't think it's good, but I don't really I get how you would get at that point.
I
mean, Michael Jackson's whole family should get therapy.
For many reasons.
Yeah.
The whole thing is really sad.
Yeah.
Really, really, really sad. But yeah, I am interested to see if anyone else will come forward now.
Mm-hmm.
I do not have a shred of doubt that there are many, many more victims.
Oh, yeah.
excuse me. I'm also interested that nobody has come forward and been like, he tried to, like, have my kid over for a sleepover, and I said, fuck no.
no one ever said no to Michael Jackson.
Well, yeah, I also thought that was kind of interesting. They did a good job at sort of highlighting the point with regards to their moms and everyone being like, oh, like, you missed all these, like, red flags or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, these were the type of women that that abusers would target. Like, these were women who were unhappy in their own lives. Like, Joy Robson moved her entire fucking family to America, essentially for Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Not her entire family. She left her husband
and her
oldest
child. Yeah, she split up her
child.
Family. Did you relate to the story of a family with mixed accents?
Oh, yeah. I love how Shane kept his Australian accent. Yeah.
Well, he stayed in Australia, didn't he?
No, he came here eventually.
Oh,
he's
really?
Here now.
Oh,
yeah. Cool. Yeah. And Wade said, you know, examining anything to do with Michael would have caused him to examine his entire life, because the entire trajectory of his life, his family, his relationship with his dad, everything was impacted by Michael Jackson. And it just really showed, like, the over the course of like 20 years, just the devastation, like, that has racked these two families.
Yeah, it was so interesting the way it highlighted the sort of nuance of these situations. And I feel like now, like, you know, we talk about a cultural reckoning that we're in, and like, trying to cancel people like R. Kelly and abusive people. Mm-hmm. And I think that we are trying to achieve this simple answer, like canceling someone. And this really shows that it's not that easy. Like, you can't do something that's going to make us all feel good and relieved and like we solved it. You know, like, there's nothing you can do to extract Michael Jackson from culture.
Yeah.
And there's nothing Wade Robson can do to, like, erase him from his life.
Yeah.
He completely defined his life, and now he's going to have to find a way to go forward and like enjoy his life in some way, even though Michael Jackson shaped his entire life.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's ugly, you know, it's ugly to think about, and there's no satisfying answer.
Yeah, absolutely. And the, not the real tragedy. I mean, the real tragedy is, yeah, Michael Jackson didn't have a childhood, but he didn't get, he shouldn't have gotten to destroy all these other kids' childhoods. Like, he didn't get to take theirs. But also, like, Michael Jackson didn't seem to get any joy from his life. You know, like, obviously he was filled with, like, self-hatred. And that, for me, like, the cycle of abuse and, like, the whole really fucking dark Carcosa-like nature of it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just like, God, the harm we do to each other as people is just limitless. Like,
yeah,
I was fucking limitless.
This might have been a slightly drunk thought, but thinking about how Michael Jackson, like, deformed himself and, you know, was very tortured toward the end of his entire life. But they talked about his alcohol abuse, and obviously we know he died of a drug overdose. And I was thinking, like, this really highlights just the ugliness in the world and the cruelty we can inflict on each other. And maybe, like, destroying the earth is our, like, bad plastic surgery. We are, like, we're cruel to each other. We harm people in unfathomable ways, and we're destroying ourselves.
Yeah, literally destroying ourselves. Yeah. We are the only known life in the universe, and we are doing our best to eradicate ourselves.
Yep.
And maybe it's for the best.
Poetic. it's just too bad that, like, if we really burn the planet down, like, aliens won't be able to find a DVD of True Detective and, like, enjoy that art that we
You know what they'll find? They'll find the fucking Best Picture Oscar for Green Book. That's what they'll find. That's our legacy, guys. Good luck.
At least they'll know that we deserve to talk.
Good luck. Good luck with that. That's what's going to be left. The fucking... also, did... okay. Just... sorry, this is tangential, but again, the ways people harm themselves. Wade... the soul patch.
Fucking elephant on his chin.
The soul patch... is
I was,
his commitment to that
surprised is, yeah, to see he was definitely like a guy who was on trend throughout his young adult life. Like, he had this spiky
sixth bleached member of hair the Backstreet Boys
the mid-90s, but he needs to update his facial hair situation.
I think it's because he has like a little thing on the bottom of his lip that he's trying to cover.
Oh, does I didn't
I think
notice
I don't
that.
Know I saw but, that I mean, in pictures as a
facial
kid,
hair is still on trend, just not the soul patch
not a
goatee
soul patch,
combo.
Yeah, also I feel very dirty saying this, but James Safechuck is exactly my kind of
he's
attractive.
Very cute.
He is like super in my wheelhouse, like exactly. He's like tall and rangy and like handsome. I like him.
His look when he was like in a grunge band or whatever,
yeah,
a rock band in the late 90s was very
Beto.
Yeah, looked good. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, he so sorry, but you are very very handsome.
It wouldn't be that's you know, it wouldn't be our brand if we weren't inappropriately objectifying men.
Yeah, what else did you want to say about this? Any other questions?
Got in my dig about the mixed accents.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh. Wade met his wife by, like, challenging her to a dance dance-off in a nightclub.
Yeah, that's great. Both wives seemed amazing.
Yeah, they seemed cool.
They really seemed cool, and I hope for long, happy marriages for all of them. I saw I got deep into a Jezebel thread about this, and people were talking, there was a lot of talk about people who were insanely triggered by it and it, you know, really wish they hadn't seen it. And so yeah, definitely go into it knowing that this is an insanely hard watch.
It's excruciating.
It's very,
we've already
very,
overused
it's
harrowing.
Insanely sad. Just really, really sad. I mean, it's insanely sad. But anyway, there was also a comment where somebody said, like, the wives seemed really cool, and like, I'm so glad that, you know, like, it's a lot to fucking take on, and I'm so glad that they're, you know, chilling with these guys basically and helping them through it. And then somebody was like, well, as a survivor of like child abuse, you know, nobody's doing us any favors by like staying with us. And, you know, you should, I know you mean well, but you shouldn't really have phrased it that way. Cause oh, you know, and she was like, but wait a minute, like neither of these women knew this. Like this was revealed to them after they were mm-hmm. married and already had kids. And it's a lot to deal with. That's all I'm saying. Like, so I don't know. The internet's trash.
That's what people you get for reading the comments.
People are trash. Yeah. The internet's trash. I thought the women seemed really cool. And yep. I do think they're awesome for standing by their men. And yeah, it's just sad and multi-generational and sad and continues to be so. And I will be interested to see if anyone, Macaulay Culkin, comes forward to talk about child abuse.
Yeah, I wondered about that. I also think it's entirely possible that
Macaulay Culkin was not abused.
Yeah. I mean, he was already a star. Yeah. So like that would be really risky to but yeah, who knows.
Corey Haim came out and said that he can no longer
thank God we finally Michael got Jackson. Corey Haim to come around.
It's solved, guys. Corey Jackson.
No, Corey Haim. Not the other Corey.
Oh, Corey, sorry, Feldman.
Yeah,
Corey Feldman. R.I.P. Corey Haim.
Yeah,
yeah, who probably was abused by Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's, we're all complicit, guys. Everybody just looked the other way.
You guys have any suggestions for something for us to watch this week that's not
let's about do Mr. Rogers
like extreme let's cruelty
watch, okay. Let's watch Mr. Rogers.
I mean,
let's
not, that's not going to be a break from crying. No. I bawled watching that documentary.
I haven't been able to watch it yet.
It's yeah.
In personal news, I just got eyelash extensions, so I don't think I'm not in the market for a lot of crying.
Yeah, that's something you consider.
It's been a rough week, guys. It's been a rough week. At least J-Lo and A-Rod are going to make a go of it. I feel like those two crazy kids, I think this is it. It's going to last for both of them. Taffy Acker, Broadusser Acker, mm-hmm. the writer of the Goop ubiquitous piece.
Yeah.
Said that she wished she believed in anything as much as J-Lo believes in marriage. And I do. I think that it's nice that J-Lo's going back for another round.
How many marriages is this for her?
Four, maybe.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I think this is it. I think they're going to die together. Hopefully not in a murder suicide. that
best
ring
wishes,
is really J-Lo. Something.
I haven't seen it yet. Oh. I have to check it out.
Oh, it's all over the internet. It's beautiful.
I guess imagine like proposing to J-Lo. Like she famously has had like gigantic engagement rings, right? You have to top that.
I don't know. I think she and A-Rod are the real deal. I think it's not just about the ring this time.
Okay. I like your positive outlook.
Yeah. All right. Next week we're going to come back with something a little more lighthearted, but Leaving Neverland is an amazingly powerful documentary, and if you can stand it, you maybe should watch it.
Yeah.
And keep it here on BFF.fm. Your day can only get better from here. We're down an hour, guys. We're down an hour today, so...
Fewer bad things can happen.
Fewer bad things can maybe. God.
Be careful what you say. We can't afford to lose any more 90210 stars this
exactly.
week.
Exactly. All right. Well, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with more TV on the Radio.